Thank you for listening to this teaching from Kingdom Discipleship. Are you a devoted, disciplined disciple of Jesus Christ? Or are you simply a Christian who goes to church on Sunday? In Acts 4, verse 13, we read of the religious leaders, quote, "When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus." How often do people take note that you have, quote, "been with Jesus" because you are consistently living for Jesus and speaking about Jesus? Let's open our Bible now that we might learn to truly be devoted, disciplined disciples of Jesus Christ our Lord.
Well, good morning and welcome to another teaching. It's a Tuesday morning here in Texas, and it's an exciting day. Stephen informed me that this will be, this teaching is teaching number 600. And we're just thankful to Jesus that he has, that he's given us this ministry, that he's just blessed us and allowed us to do this. Hopefully the teachings have blessed you. That doesn't count the shorts. That's just full-length teachings from when we first did these, which we believe is the beginning, or I believe is the beginning of 2019. We might have done one or two at the end of 2018, but this is teaching, full-length teaching number 600. I believe they're all on Apple and Google, and then, you know, most of them are on YouTube and Spotify, and then we have social media where the shorts go out. On TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook. So thank you, Lord Jesus. It's a wonderful milestone. And again, we're thankful to Jesus for allowing us to do this. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Well, rightly so. On teaching number 600, we're going to talk about just being with Jesus. We're going to talk about spending time with Jesus, but can others tell that you have been with Jesus? Do others, quote, take note that you've been with Jesus? And, you know, the obvious answer is rarely, right? Rarely does someone come up and say, "Have you been with Jesus?" People tell these stories, and it may happen occasionally, but, you know, it's rare that someone will come up and say, "You know what? I mean, you're kind of different. You're like, just the way you live and your attitude's different. Have you been with Jesus?" It's a lovely thing, and I would like it to happen, but it's something that rarely happens. But it's something that should happen. The more boldly we live our lives for Jesus, and the more we're willing to talk about Jesus, the more that people will take note that our lives are about Jesus. Now, hopefully, people have taken notice. And for most people that are serious Christians, do the people that are around you know that you're a Christian? Do the people that are around you know you follow Jesus? I mean, most of the people that I walk with intimately day by day, I know that most of the people around them know. I'm thinking about Stephen and Nathan and Kristen, the people that work hard, to get all these teachings prepared and to get them out on all the different platforms. I know that Stephen's family, his friends have taken notice that he's a Christian and that his life is devoted to Jesus, because they've seen him consistently talking about it. I know that my son-in-law, Nathan, I know that other people around him know that he's walking with Jesus. I know that my daughter, Kristen, and my daughter, Lauren, for that matter, that people have taken notice that they're Christians, that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior, that they're walking with Christ. My wife, May, no question about it, that people know that she's walking with Jesus. And again, the others in the ministry, Tom and Jesse and Josh and Dustin and Eddie and Jose, I know And then, you know, all the others that we're in relationship with, right, Pop? You know, I know that people have noticed and can see that you've spent time with Jesus. And that's important because, y'all, it's become uncommon in church for the vast majority of Christians, the vast majority of, you know, people who are in church around the world. Most people wouldn't know, regrettably, that they are devout followers of Jesus Christ, because they're not. Very few people are devout followers of Jesus Christ. I was proud of Stephen today. We were in Bible study and I was asking him about the difference between a Christian and a disciple. And I've done teachings, multiple teachings on this difference. And so he didn't know what I wanted him to say. He did not know what I wanted him to say. He said, oh, you know, do you want me to remind you that all disciples are Christians, but very few Christians ever become disciples? I like that. Okay, now I'm not happy that that's the case. Okay, none of us. The Bible doesn't say go and make Christians, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. That's not what it says. Jesus declared, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Jesus is the boss of everything. Therefore, go and make disciples. Now, you have to be a Christian before you can become a disciple. Okay. You have to be born again. You have to receive spiritual life. You have to have eternal life. You have to be one with Jesus. You need to have the Holy Spirit living in you. Okay. You need to become a Christian. Okay. But once you're a Christian, immediately you ought to be beginning and growing in the process of being a disciple of Jesus. A Christian is someone who's trusting in Jesus, relying on Jesus, literally clinging to Jesus alone for their salvation, the forgiveness of their sin, to go to heaven when they die, and to be delivered from an eternity in hell. If you're believing in Jesus, believing that your God the Son, Jesus, entered this world, lived for you, died for you, and rose again, and if you're literally clinging to him now, knowing that nothing you do can help you go to heaven, the only thing we do, the only thing that we can do will help us go to hell, okay? Our salvation is entirely by grace. It comes by believing that Jesus is who he says he is, the Son of God, God Almighty, God the Son, that he did enter this world, that he did live that perfect, righteous life, that he did die that horrible, torturous death on the cross, and that he was raised from the dead. That you believe that, and from that place, you've humbled yourself before Jesus, fully knowing your desperate need of him, as the Bible teaches, as a desperate sinner. And that you've gone to him and you've received him as your savior. All you can do is receive the gift. John 1:12. Yet to all who received him, Jesus, to those who believed in his name, Jesus, he gave the right to become children of God. A Christian, someone becomes a Christian entirely by grace alone, through faith alone, your trust and reliance alone, in Christ alone. Okay, so examine yourself. Are you a Christian today? I know you may believe in Jesus intellectually, but are you trusting in him? Do you have your full confidence in Jesus? I mean, have you gone before him and said, Jesus, I know I'm a desperate sinner. I know that I need a savior, and I know that you are my only hope. You are my only savior. Lord, I believe that you are who you say you are, the Son of God. I do believe you entered this world, even lived for me, died for me, and rose again. And I do ask you to save me, Lord Jesus. I do place all my faith and trust and confidence in you alone to save me and to be my everlasting Lord and God. I ask you to come into my heart. I ask you, Jesus, to be the Lord of my life. I ask you to save me, Lord Jesus. Have mercy on me, Lord. Save me. I place all my faith and confidence and trust in you alone to be my everlasting Lord and God. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name I pray. Again, Romans 10:13 says that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You see how I called out to him there? Now hear me, this is important. Our words don't save us, okay? You're not saved by puppeting words, okay? But you do use your words to communicate your heart to Jesus. So have you communicated that to Jesus? Have you earnestly called to the Lord in prayer? and asked him to save you? Are you trusting in him and clinging to him? If you're not sure, I mean, again, stop the recording. I was going to say stop the tape. I'm dating myself. Stop the recording and, again, humble yourself before him and, again, call out to him. And it's the sincerity of your heart that matters, okay? We're not saved by puppeting words. But if you genuinely call out to Jesus to save you, believing him to be who he said he is, the Son of God, God the Son, believing that he entered this world, lived for you, died for you, and rose again, and you ask him to save you earnestly, knowing you're a desperate sinner in need of a savior, and without Jesus, only hell awaits, and you cry out to him and you receive him genuinely, Romans 10:13, God has given his word. He's promised everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And what that means is to call on Jesus the way we just talked about. Calling on him to save you, receiving him as your savior, knowing your need of him, believing him to be who he says he is, the Son of God, God the Son, believing that he did enter this world as the Bible teaches, lived that perfect righteous life, died that torturous death on the cross, and was raised from the dead. Now, if you've received Jesus like that, you're a Christian. All of your sin, past, present, and future sin, has been credited to Christ at the cross. It's kind of nice, right? And the perfect righteous life he lived when he walked the earth has been credited or imputed or accounted to you. That's kind of incredible, right? That exchange is the heart of the Christian gospel. It's kind of a nice swap. All of my disgusting sin, again, past, present, and future sin. Some Christians worry. Many do, actually. Well, what about my future sins? I know Jesus died for my sins, but how about the sins I'll commit in the future? Well, obviously, we want to be growing in Christ and sinning less. But, you know, the more we grow to know Christ, the more we mature, the more we actually see deeper levels of sin and selfishness in our own heart. But what you want to understand is that when Jesus died for your sins 2,000 years ago, all of your sins were future sins, right? So when Jesus died on the cross, he died for every sin you would ever commit in your life, past sins, present sins, and future sins. Everyone is put to that cross, is put to Jesus, credited to Jesus. And again, the perfect righteous life he lived when he walked the earth is credited to you. Someone who's received Christ and is genuinely trusting in Christ is a Christian. Now, believe it or not, that's just the beginning, y'all. Okay? That's the entrance to this whole thing. You have to be a Christian before you can become a disciple. But then Jesus said, go and make disciples. People may know that you're a Christian. But do they know you're a disciple? Is there something about you that not only are you a Christian? Not only are you saved, not only have you received Christ, but are you a disciplined follower of Christ? We actually get our English word discipline from the Latin word discipulus. So you can't be a disciple of Jesus without discipline, right? How disciplined are you in your walk with Jesus? Do you have a disciplined walk with Jesus? Are you spending time with Jesus every single day? We talked in Bible study this morning. The guys were sharing, how much time do you spend talking to Jesus? And this isn't easy, y'all. This is a skill. It is something that takes a lot of effort. Different people grow in it at different levels. But know this, right? There are some guys that have pursued Jesus, that have prayed, that have thanked him, and unfortunately they don't seem to experience a lot of engagement with Jesus. They're not experiencing that tangible relationship. But Jesus is pleased. You want to keep doing it. Again, it's hard, right? I remember when Jesse said, I said, man, why is it easy, so easy for you to share your life with me? And I've talked to Stephen about this too and others. Why is it you'll share with me so much your life and what's going on in your life? And, you know, you'll confess the areas you need to do better and, you know, you'll receive exhortation from me. Why aren't you doing that more with Jesus? And Jesse and Stephen will say something to the effect, well, you talk back. Right. Meaning they can hear me. They, you know, we have to believe by faith that Jesus hears us. And then we don't hear Jesus speak to us in our natural ears. Right. And so now, I mean, that's good that, you know, they want to experience the presence of Jesus more and more and more and more. And Jesse has gotten much better at it. Stephen is working at it, but, you know, he wants to experience Jesus more, and you and I should too. Right. But we have to, by faith, continue to put in the wrench time. Now, listen, this doesn't help save us, y'all. This is, you know, nothing we can do helps save us. Being a Christian is entirely by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. It's a gift. A disciple is something different now. A disciple of Jesus is cooperating with the Holy Spirit, working with the Holy Spirit, applying yourself, making an effort to more and more walk with Jesus, to obey Jesus, to be like Jesus, to live for Jesus, love for Jesus, give for Jesus, and forgive for Jesus. More and more each day. A disciple is someone who has a daily walk with Jesus, spending time with Jesus, talking to him throughout the day, being thankful, giving him praise, worship. A disciple is someone who has some type of repentance. They're convicted over their sin. You're trying to grow to be more and more like Jesus. Your heart is to please him. That's different now than being a Christian, right? Someone who's saved. So again, you know, there it is. Here it is again. All disciples, all true disciples are Christians. But regrettably, few Christians ever become disciples. So again, how noticeable is it to others that you're not only a Christian, but you're a disciple of Jesus Christ? Like people are like, wow, this man or woman, this lady, I mean, all she does is she's talking about Jesus. She's always bringing up Jesus. This guy just keeps talking about Jesus. Look at Acts chapter 4. Peter and John were dragged in before the religious authorities, and they, you know, the Lord had done a miracle through them and healing a man who was crippled. Starting in verse 8, Acts 4, it says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed.'" Verse 11, "He, Jesus, is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone." Verse 12, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." Wow. Peter just, boom, laid down the gamut right there. No other name under heaven. Okay. Jesus or hell is what Peter just told him. The truth of the word of God right there, right? You heard it. Acts 4:12, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." But here now, look at verse 13. Verse 13 is a powerful verse. Speaking of the religious leaders, "When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus." I mean, there's a verse right there, okay? Acts 4:13, "When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they didn't have all the religious education, they didn't go to the best seminaries, unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus." These are disciples, right? They're certainly Christians, but they're more than that. These are disciples. And you know, Jesus had 12 disciples, right? He had 12, and then he had a, you know, he had bigger groups. He had the 70, and then he had an inner circle of three, Peter, James, and John. And so we each of us should be a growing disciple of Jesus who's making disciples. One of the important aspects of being a disciple is you're helping people move from being just Christians. They need to be Christians first. We cannot disciple. We can't help someone be a disciplined follower of Christ and obey Christ until Jesus is living in them. Jesus lives in every genuine Christian by the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit who regenerates your spirit, gives you life, eternal life. And now you actually have the power to live for Christ. You have the power to live a more holy life. You have a power to turn away from sin. You have a power to live in a way that's pleasing to Jesus, to obey him, to be more like him, to serve him, to love him, to know his love for you, and to repent where you fall short on a daily basis. This is the meaning of Christianity. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Again, that of everything in your life, this should be the greatest goal of your life, that more and more, not from a religious standpoint, from a relationship standpoint, because Jesus means so much to you. And maybe you feel his presence, maybe you don't, but you love him. And you care about him and you want to please him. So you want people to take note that you've been with Jesus. And how do you do that? Just because you talk about him all the time. You bring it up. You bring up the name of Jesus. Someone can talk about God all day. No one takes note that you've been with God. That doesn't even mean anything. Okay? You've heard me say this many times. There is no relationship with the generic being God. You can't have a personal relationship without a person. Personal person. You need a person to have a relationship, a personal relationship. Our relationship is not with what God is. What he is God. Just like you don't relate to human being, you relate to father, mother, brother, sister, friend, Kristen, Nathan, Stephen, Kayla, May. You relate to not what something is or what someone is, but who they are. Your relationship is not at all with the generic being God. It's with your Father, God the Father, the person of God the Father, the person of Jesus Christ the Son, and the person of God the Holy Spirit. Remember, we have one God, three distinct individual persons, right? We have a triune God, one being, three separate individual persons, one being, three parts, and your relationship is only in Jesus, but in Jesus, it unlocks relationship with our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the Holy Spirit. Wow. So it's amazing that they see this. They take note that these men had been with Jesus. They could see they're just fishermen. They didn't go to any schools. They were uneducated people. But yet, you know, they saw that they had been with Jesus. Now that should be encouraging to all of us. Perhaps many of you who listen to this are very educated. Maybe some of you have little education. Ultimately, when you leave this life, it's good to be educated. But what's going to matter is how much you grew, how much you walked as a disciple of Jesus Christ, how much you increasingly spent your time, talents, and money in service to Jesus as his disciple. So what do they do? Verse 14, but since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. 15, so they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then conferred together. 16, what are we going to do with these men? They asked. Everybody living in Jerusalem knows they have done an outstanding miracle, and we cannot deny it. But look at this, verse 17. This is their solution to this. And this is what the world, this is what the devil, the enemy, the spiritual forces in your own flesh will try to get you to do. Verse 17, but to stop this thing from spreading any further, the message of Christ is meant to spread More and more and more and more. It ought to be flowing out of you. But to stop, what are we going to do with these men, they're saying? Okay? You saw Peter just boldly say, it's in the name of Jesus. Verse 10, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Everything is in Jesus. Jesus is everything. He himself said he's our Alpha and our Omega, our beginning and our end. He's our first and our last. Jesus is everything. Your whole life, my whole life, is about more Jesus. And then more Jesus, and then more Jesus than that. Here's the solution. Their solution. They see the man healed. He was healed by proclaimingthe name of Jesus. Peter looked at him and said, Peter and John looked at him and said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And the man was healed. Over 40 years old, right, Stephen? Verse 16, what are we going to do with these men? They asked. Everybody living in Jerusalem knows they've done an outstanding miracle in the name of Jesus, and we cannot deny it. But look at their hearts. This is the goal of the devil, the goal of the demons, the goal of the world, the goal of every person who's not a Christian. Verse 17, but to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn these men to speak no longer to anyone in this name. Verse 18, then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. No one will mind when we say, God bless you. No one will mind when we say, God, 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 God. This is why you've heard me pound this over and over and over and over again. The single most important thing you can do to grow as a disciple of Jesus is begin to have the name of Jesus on your tongue more and more and more and more. To more and more do everything in the name of Jesus. To be talking about Jesus. To pray to Jesus, okay? Pray to your Heavenly Father. Pray to the person of your Father, Heavenly Father. Pray to the person of God the Son. Pray to God the Holy Spirit. Praise and worship God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, God the Holy Spirit, okay? We don't pray or praise or worship human beings alive or dead, okay? Angels or demons, you don't pray or praise or worship angels or demons. We have a triune God. You can pray, praise, worship, thank God the Father individually, God the Son, Jesus individually, and God the Holy Spirit individually, and you should. You want to cultivate relationship with each person of the Trinity. You want to have a personal relationship, and that happens as you engage them, right? So again, why is it they can go out and talk about God all they want, but they say, verse 18, they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Just stop talking about Jesus. That's the whole point of your life, is to grow, not only to speak about Jesus more, but to obey him more. Verse 19, but Peter and John replied, judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. If you want to know what God wants you to do, he wants you to think about Jesus more, talk about Jesus more, grow to know Jesus more. He wants you to do Colossians 3:17 as your whole life. Colossians 3:17, whatever you do, in word or deed. That's like whatever you do. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Everything is about Jesus. Judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God, for we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. Verse 21, after further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. Verse 22, for the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. Wow. So again, the Great Commission. Jesus has commissioned you, Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Jesus said, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Jesus is the boss of everything in heaven and on earth. Everything. Therefore, go and make disciples. Got to be a Christian first, but we're not called to make Christians. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I'm with you to the ends of the age. There it is. A disciple is growing to obey Jesus in everything, growing to repent for where we don't. Let's be better disciples for Jesus. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace, your wonder, your love. Father, we thank you again for the privilege that you've given us in this ministry. We thank you, Lord, for this 600th teaching. But we thank you more than anything for Jesus, Father, our only Lord and Savior and Master and King. Lord Jesus, we thank you for becoming a human man for us. We thank you for living for us, dying for us, and we thank you that you are alive and risen, and we worship you. Holy Spirit, we ask you to convict us. We want to be more fervent, more loving, more dedicated, more disciplined disciples of Jesus Christ, our Lord. So seal this message to our hearts, we pray, in Jesus' name. And for Jesus' sake, amen and amen.